You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. This is a podcast all about wrapping your mind around your own financial situation. My name is Timmy Stanford and I am your host. And today with me, I have Rebecca Motley. She is at the Miguanago branch of Citizens Bank here. And yeah, she's going to give us a lot of advice today on some questions that we might have when it comes to banking and things that people may think they already know about or they should know about, but they might be too embarrassed to ask. So Rebecca, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your history at your at the bank here and what you do now?
Absolutely. So as Timmy said, I work at the Miguanago location and I am the specialty banking officer there. So what that means is I oversee our specialty banking areas, such as our customer service representatives. They would be the person you get when you call in. So that would be that team. And then our business relationship officers, and they partner with our business lenders on making sure the deposit needs are met as well.
Okay, great. So yeah, she really helps make sure that everyone's coordinating in the appropriate ways and that if there's issues on one end, it gets cleared up so that everything kind of flows front to back smoothly. So yeah, like I mentioned before, we're going to be talking a little bit about questions that people may have, but they might be too embarrassed to ask, things you think about and go, well, I should really know that by now. So we're just going to talk about those kind of things. So let's start right at the top. Let's start right at the top here. And just from the biggest banking question, I guess you might have is, how do I find a bank? What do I do to decide where I would start banking?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great question. And honestly, the best way to start is by talking to friends and family. Do they have recommendations? Is there a bank that they've had a great experience that they can share with you? And after you get some direction, after that, the best thing to do is make some phone calls or look on some websites, ask some questions, locations and hours. Do they do personal banking by appointment or can you just walk in? And what other ways can you connect with that bank that will be convenient for you going forward?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know that's how I've gotten into all my banking is places my parents have gone through.
Definitely.
And I think that's a pretty common way, wouldn't you say, is kind of familial recommendations. I found the bank that I want to go to. And what do I do now? How do I start? What do I do to get an account there?
So the best recommendation I have for that is to give the bank a call and let them know that you're interested in opening an account there and ask, can I just walk in? Do you have appointment times? And not only that, what do you need? So driver's license, do you need any other paperwork to have with you? Is there anything that you need in order to prepare for that appointment with them?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too. It's good to be prepared before you go in and just guns ablaze and say, I need an account. And you may not be able to get one right away if you just hop in and the personal bankers are all busy and don't necessarily have time to help you that day. So to get an account, though, is there anything you need? Is there any certain amount of money or job, or do I need to do anything special to be, I guess, qualified for an account?
That's a great question. So you don't need a job. You will need typically an opening deposit, though.
Okay.
So a average number, I would say, is probably between 50 and 100, depending on what type of an account.
Okay.
So checking, savings, somewhere in that range, but definitely a question you want to ask ahead of time so you can have that with you. Driver's license or some form of identification. If you have something that's out of the norm, that's also a great question to ask ahead of time to make sure that they can accept that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure the bank needs to verify you are who you say you are. You can't just go in and open accounts under people's names and using their identification. That's illegal. So don't want to be doing that. So what if you've had some trouble in the past, though? You know, say you had, you know, unfortunately, like an arrest on your record or you've had issues at other banks where you've had closed accounts that got charged off. What does that mean for my ability to open a new account at a new bank?
So for banks, the biggest thing that they're going to look at is your history that you have with other banks.
Okay.
So they're not going to be looking into history such as, you know, previous arrests or anything like that. But they will look to make sure that you've had good relationships with any other financial institutions. Mm-hmm. So they will run a report, and if there's something concerning on there, it could impact your ability to establish a relationship with them.
Okay, gotcha. So from what I know of that system as well, I know in this show we talk a lot about credit scores. But this is not a credit score. It's technically different from that. It's an independent reporting system specifically for deposit institutions, correct?
That is correct.
Yep, and they just report if they've had a customer that owes them money, and and so that other banks can know that that person has an outstanding liability with a bank that they overdrew with. So yeah, like I mentioned, that it is interesting because it sounds a lot like a credit score, but it's technically something different. And yeah, if you've had a history of bad checks or of, you know, overdrawing or kiting checks, you know, all these buzzwords I'm sure you hear going around on bank accounts, those types of things all get reported on there, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Awesome. So so I go to the bank, they run that report. I don't have bad deposit history, thankfully. And now I have my account set up, and I, you know, I'm good to go. But what do I do now that I have a bank bank account? Do I need to be balancing my checkbook? Do I need to, what do I need to do to be financially responsible with this account and make sure that I'm keeping track of my money, and you know, I don't come a couple months later and ask where all my money went?
Yeah, that's a great question. So once you have a bank account, like you said, you want to be using it wisely.
Yeah, so, financially responsible with, you know, just keeping track of what's in there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to balance a checkbook in the old-fashioned way where you have your register and you're checking and comparing between your statement. The biggest recommendation that I have and that I do is I just check in on my bank. So I have my online banking I can sign into. I go in probably once a day, but definitely at least once a week. I go through my transactions, make sure everything was authorized by me, and that's the best thing that you can do. You really just want to make sure that no one has gotten a hold of your information and is starting to use your funds that you've worked hard for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I also think circumstances have changed a little bit as we move away from writing physical checks as often. So it does make a lot of sense that you don't necessarily need to do the traditional balancing a checkbook, which for those who you do, those of you who don't know, like you had mentioned, Rebecca, it's you take all the checks you've written in your checkbook and you've kept track of that, and then you compare it to your statement so you can see which checks have already been processed and taken out of your account. Because when you write a check, that money doesn't come out of your account until whoever has received the check takes it to their bank and puts it in their account or cashes it or whatever. So, you know, back in the day, I guess we could call it, even though it wasn't that long ago, it was very important to make sure that you weren't writing checks too much, you know, for too much money. You wanted to make sure that as you wrote checks, you were keeping track of your balance so that you weren't going to be writing a check that would bounce or be a bad check. But like I said, as we're moving a little bit away from that traditional usage of checkbooks, and most things are coming on your credit card or a debit card, you don't really need to keep your balance running as similar in that same similar fashion, because if you use your debit card at somewhere and there's no money in your account, it's just going to decline it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of in that same vein, staying on top of bills is obviously important. So how can I make sure that I remember to pay all of them and make sure I'm paying them in the correct ways? What kind of tools are out there to help me stay on top of all those things?
Another great question. So the best way to stay on top of your bills, in my opinion, is using a bill payer service. So a lot of banks offer that through their online banking. You can set those up right in there. You can make them recurring. You can make them, you can stop, you can start them at your discretion. Mm-hmm. And it's all in one area. So instead of going to every different website, you have it all in one spot where you can see, oh, these are all of my bills. And like I said, you can have them automatic, so it takes the guesswork out of it. Or if the date changes, you can just simply go in and find that payee and then send it out.
Yeah, that's really useful to have, you know, a single place where there's reminders set there.
Right.
I know you can go to each individual place that you owe money to with all their websites or whatever, but obviously you have to remember to go to each of them.
Right.
So having one spot where that's all kept neatly makes a lot of sense, you know, and helps you keep track of all of that. So kind of going back to what I mentioned before, I mentioned a debit or a credit card, you know, say I open my account and I get a debit card with my checking account. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I'm not sure what's the difference between this debit card and a credit card. What dictates the abilities that a credit card has versus what a debit card can do?
Right, because they look the same.
Yeah, they have really similar numbers. They swipe and do all the same things. They buy you things. So what does a debit card do and what does a credit card do and what makes them unique?
So a debit card is drawing off of funds that you have in your checking account. So it's funds that are at your discretion to use. So anytime you swipe your debit card, it's coming directly out of that checking account.
Yeah, it's kind of like a faster way of writing a check.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and a credit card is a little bit different where, yes, you're still swiping it. However, it's coming from a credit line that you may have with that credit card company.
Okay.
And that is a bill that you would have to then pay that you could do through your online banking.
Yeah, so the credit card is a separate set up credit line that's not money you necessarily have saved up.
Right.
But it's money that's effectively being lent to you to be used and spent, and then you owe a bill to that company that you pay back on a monthly basis. Yep, that, and then the debit card comes right from money you already do have.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. And then, you know, I open a checking account, I'm thinking about maybe saving some money. Mm-hmm. What are some options for saving money, and how do I start if I have some long-term plans I want to go after with saving some money? What would I want to do there?
So savings, you can start small or you can go large. It depends on what your end goal is and how much you have to start. You can start really small with just a savings account or a certificate of deposit where you can put anywhere from 100 to 250 to start with. And you can just slowly build that, even if it's taking your direct deposit and channeling some of those funds immediately into that savings account or add-on CD. Or if you have a larger amount that you want to start with and you're saving for maybe a home or a car or college, that would be a great opportunity to meet with some investment advisors and see if they have anything else they could offer.
Gotcha. And so with the investment advisors, what kind of things do they offer that maybe a bank can't offer? What's the difference between what your personal banker can do and what a, you know, a certified financial advisor can do?
That's a great question. So personal bankers can help you get your checking, savings, certificate of deposits, safe deposit boxes, any deposit type account. An investment advisor can help you look at mutual funds and other investment options that will usually give you a greater return on your assets.
Gotcha. So, you know, things where you more have to put your money into something rather than just keeping it there at the bank. That makes a lot of sense that, you know, you'd have to go to someone certified to be able to help you out with that. And as far as having the money in the bank and using, you know, you've got the online banking, the bill payer, how do I balance all that and then know what my budget should be? Or, you know, do you have any at least baseline suggestions for how to start budgeting? If, you know, say I've set up my checking account and I've started, you know, using my debit card, but I find that I'm kind of coming up short every month, or, you know, not putting as much money in my savings that I've set up with you. What can I do, or what are some tips and tricks to start budgeting and try to stick to that?
That's a great question. So with that online banking that we talked about for Citizens Bank, at least, and possibly some other ones. So a great question to ask when you're looking for a bank is, do they have a platform to help you with that? So do they have a spending habits option that you can see where are those funds that you have going? And just looking at, you know, the big picture of, are you spending too much on groceries? Are you spending too much on just miscellaneous things? And kind of getting a handle on where are those excess funds going and where can you pare it down? So where can you pull back and maybe put those funds into that savings account or that certificate of deposit, or work with the investment advisor? There are also tons of apps that you can get for budgeting that will do a lot of the work for you. There is usually a cost for it, so you have to weigh it out. You can also start simple. Look at your planner, whether it's paper planner or Outlook planner, whatever it is, and kind of lay out, when are the bills coming? When do you get paid? What's that difference? And how much can you put away?
Yeah, those are all great pieces of advice, I think. And yeah, just being realistic about it sounds like is a big thing, and really figuring out, you know, what is important to make sure gets paid, and then what other things can we maybe do less of or are less important that, you know, I'll still live if I'm not doing, you know, those are kind of the important things. You don't want to necessarily miss your rent because you really like going to Starbucks. So yeah, those are all great pieces of advice. And like I said, some of them seem a little silly, and that's kind of what we're here to do. Ask the silly questions. We're here to do the dirty work, I guess, of looking silly when you ask a question, because you shouldn't feel silly asking a question. And that's, I guess, kind of a piece of advice I would give is, you know, don't ever feel like you aren't allowed to ask a question, especially to your financial institution. It's very important that you understand what's going on with your money and that you feel comfortable with the people that are taking care of your money and how you're spending your money. So with that, I'm going to kind of go into the do's and don'ts that we have going on with these questions and kind of summarize what we talked about here today. So I would say the first do when you're figuring out these questions, these overhanging ideas of personal finance, I would say do seek out a reputable source like Citizens Bank and the personal bankers that we have here to give you info and to help you out. I mean, you can obviously also talk to family member or a friend that is trustworthy and financially responsible. Obviously, if you have a friend who's not very responsible with their money, you don't want to go and ask them how to budget your money. But if you, like I said, a trustworthy family or family member or friend who knows how to live life and spend money responsibly, that's a great source as well if you want a more personal touch. And I would say don't be afraid to ask questions, like I just said. Don't ever feel silly to call your personal banker to ask them questions. They're not going to judge you, especially people within the bank. We've seen it all. We've gotten all the questions before, and that's just part of the job. And so it's not weird to ask a question that feels silly, because it's way better to ask the question than to assume something that's incorrect and then make a big mistake and, you know, maybe owe someone money or get a fee or something like that. And I would say, do make sure you pay attention to your account, whether you're doing an old-fashioned balance of your checkbook or just checking your online banking every day and making sure it's lining up with your budget, because that'll all work together. It'll all flow together. Making sure you know what's going on, where your money's going, all ties into making sure your budget is on track and making sure your bills are getting paid. So you'll find the more you're responsible, the more responsible you are with one of the areas of just keeping track of your money, it all kind of ends up flowing together. Because if you're not checking on your account at least every week, you may forget about some things. Because if you are checking, you could think, oh, that bill should be coming out today. Has that come out yet? And you can look and see, oh, I haven't scheduled the payment. Maybe I should do that. So it's a good habit to get into, and with the ease of access of online and mobile banking nowadays, it's so easy. It's 30 seconds to just hop in and look at your transactions for the last couple of days. And I would say, don't put off taking control of your financial health. The more time you spend letting things get worse and worse and not budgeting anything at all, figure out a budget next month, the harder it's going to be to recoup and to get back on track and to get to a point where you feel independent and responsible and in a place that's financially healthy to maybe save up to do something in the future. And yeah, there's lots of resources available to you. Like I said, family and friends that you know are responsible. If you have a bank or if you're looking for a bank, like I said, anyone, personal banker at Citizens Bank is always more than happy to talk to you and sit through and figure out what the right steps are going to be for you. And yeah, again, the big thing I really want to touch on is don't be ashamed of the things you don't know. Don't think that you should know everything about banking and finance, and because you shouldn't. There's no one who knows everything about everything, especially when it comes to the intricate world of banking and all the laws and the rules and everything that's involved there. So just ask questions whenever you think of them. Don't let yourself, you know, just sit on something and be worried. It's way better to just ask the question and feel a little silly for 5 seconds and then get it answered and feel more comfortable. But yeah, with that, Rebecca, do you have anything else you want to add or touch on?
I think you said it all. That's a huge thing. Just ask the questions. We've gotten it all, and we'll get more to come.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, I thank you for coming in, Rebecca. It's Welcome. Been great having you here and just talking about some, like I said, overview level financial health and wellness. And if anyone out there has any questions, or if you guys have any feedback for us, any suggestions on maybe future episodes that we could, topics we could talk about or types of guests that we could have. We would love to get your feedback. You can email me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's H-E-Y-T-I-M-M-Y at amindformoney.com, and that'll be at the bottom of your screen here as well. But with that, again, we thank you for listening. And again, ask the questions when you have them. Don't feel silly. Don't feel dumb, because there, you may have heard this a million times, but there are no dumb questions, especially when it comes to something important like your financial health and well-being. And with that, we thank you very much for watching.